The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to visit kind of a familiar passage today. I say it's familiar because it's a story that I've been drawn back to several times over and over again. But I want to start out, anybody in here ever seen the movie Yes Day? A couple of y'all have seen the movie Yes Day? Okay. All right, so the premise of this movie, Yes Day, is this. There's these parents, and they have three kids, and they're just overwhelmed with how many times they say no to their kids. Like, it's no, 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 which is not wrong. I'm not saying that. But they make an arrangement, they make an agreement with their kids where for one day and one day only, whatever their kids want to do, they're going to say yes to. Their kids get to plan the entire day, and the parents just have to simply say yes. Now, this is hilarious because they end up eating, like, I think it's an all-you-can-eat ice cream sundae pancake thing that makes the dad outrageously sick. They dress their parents in all kinds of ridiculous outfits that make them look incredibly silly. They go to an amusement park and throw up all over the place because they rode too many rides. Like, all things that we, again, as parents know, hey, this is why we say no when we put limits on things. But the premise of the movie is kind of cute. And what it helps the parents realize is how much they're missing out on in life by saying no. Now, granted, is riding too many roller coasters until you throw up fun? No, it's not. But if you never ride a roller coaster because you're always terrified of them, could you miss some fun? If you continually say no to everything that comes at you in life, could you miss some really cool things in life? Yeah. The same thing's true with church. It's remarkable to me how many times people ask to do things or get involved in church or to do this or to bring a trunk to the trunk or treat or to be a part of Sunday school or whatever the case is, and they always say no. And they think that in that no, there's protection, right? Well, I'm protecting myself from getting hurt. I'm protecting myself from being too busy. I'm protecting myself from stretching myself too thin. But they never realize the blessing they could be missing in that no. Just like the family didn't realize the blessings that they were missing in saying no, sometimes they got to enjoy life a little bit more by saying yes. And so today, if you're willing, I'd like for you and I to have a yes day. Great. All right, now I'm not saying this because eventually you're going to be asked to go to dinner someplace and lunch someplace, and you're going to be asked to do all kinds of things by your kids. But let's just, for the purposes of this service, I want to challenge you to say yes to whatever God leads you to. All right? We're going to look at it, and I want you to consider saying yes to whatever God lays on your heart. Here's the cool thing about being a Christian. I don't know if you know this or not. My job's real easy. I get to stand up here and talk. That's it. That's all I have to do is just stand up here and talk. Preachers only work, what, an hour a week at best? So I got a real easy job. The Holy Spirit has a whole completely different job, and it's a lot harder because what I have to do is this. I have to talk. The Holy Spirit has to make what I say somehow make sense to you and convict you, challenge you, encourage you to do different things that He wants you to do to walk closer with Christ. So the Holy Spirit has a really tough job, but my prayer all week long has been this, that you would be willing just to listen to whatever the Holy Spirit says to you today. Fair enough?
Yes.
Good deal. All right. So let's dive into our scripture. Our scripture's in Luke chapter 5. It's the time where Jesus calls his first disciples, specifically Peter. It starts out in Luke chapter 5 verse 1 and says this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gerasene, that's Galilee, the people were crowded around him listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into their boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore. So he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now we're going to stop there because this is the first kind of thing that we think of Peter's great yes, right? If you don't know, this is where Jesus asked Peter to follow him, and Peter says yes, and all these different things happen. But this is the first yes of the day. Did anybody notice when Jesus came up to Peter and his friend's boat, where were Peter and his friends? Washing their nets, right? So the first thing that happens to you and I a lot of times, and happens to Peter, is we get busy doing what we have to do or we had to do that we miss what we need to do. Does that make sense? Think about it. What were Peter and his friends doing? They were washing their nets, right? Now, if Danny were to ever take me fishing again, and I never help Danny do anything, I don't help him clean his boat, I don't help him clean up after anything, how long do you think Danny's going to take me fishing? Probably not real long, right? It kind of depends, yeah. If you're a fisherman, if this is your job, and you decide, hey, listen, at the end of the day, I don't want to do my job, the nets, not going to worry about them. They'll take care of themselves. Well, then your nets aren't going to be in the good condition the next day. The salt water is going to start to corrode them. They're going to be weak in certain spots, and they're going to break. And so what Peter and his friends are doing had to be done, right? Y'all ever get distracted by what has to be done in life? It's amazing to me, and I don't know if you realize this or not, and it's starting with little kids all the way up through high school. Y'all ever have a conversation with them about things they have to do? When I was a kid, you know what I had to do? I had to try and figure out how to make my bike sound like a motorcycle. That was like my have-to-do list. Now they got... I dropped a class my senior year in high school because on the first day they said, you have homework. I said, nope. Not I. I don't. No, sir. Now my first grader comes home with homework every day. High school kids, man, they're drawn from here to there to here to there. And everyone is telling them things they have to do. Can you all relate? Y'all ever get told how many things you have to do a day? A bunch, don't you? Yeah, some of you have a honey-do list that's longer than you are. But the idea here is this. We get so caught up in what has to be done that we miss what needs to be done. Because here's the thing. Peter's nets have to be washed if he's going to do what tomorrow? Fish. But if he ain't going to be a fisherman tomorrow, ain't no need in washing nets. You know what I'm saying? Jesus knew, Peter, you're not going to be fishing for fish tomorrow. So this washing nets, what you think is important, isn't important. You need to be over here with me. So that's the first yes of the day. And what does that first yes lead to? Well, that first yes leads to putting Peter in the exact position he needs to be to hear from God. Did you capture this moment, if you can, with me? They're on the edge of the lake. People are crowding in to hear Jesus talk, to say, I love the way that the scripture said it. It said to hear the word of God. In other words, everything that proceeded out of Jesus' mouth was straight from God. And the people were hungry for that. So they were pressing in. They were crowding in. They weren't back row Baptists. They sat a lot closer to the front. And so much so that Jesus had no place to go except for into a boat. So he looks at Peter and he says, hey, Peter, will you take me out in your boat and put out a little bit offshore so that way I can teach the people and the people can come all the way down here to the very front? And Peter says, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Peter and his friends then get a front row seat to what Jesus has to say. Now, I don't know if y'all ever been captivated by somebody when they talk? You know what I mean? Like every word that just comes out of their mouth is captivating, like you're just hanging on. Or you go to a movie and every single line of the movie just captivates you and you just are listening intently. You can't step away or move for a moment. If you have to go someplace, you have to like wait till there's a break in the action. That's literally what Jesus is doing. And instead of just being one of the crowd, Peter and his friends get now a front row seat to what God has to say. The word of God is literally proceeding out of Jesus' mouth right into, as close as they could be, Peter and his friends' ears. See, it was that first yes that Peter said of, hey, listen, yes, I'll stop doing what I need to do. I'll stop doing what I have to do and start doing what I need to do, that put him in the perfect position to hear from God. I wonder how many of us are waiting, pleading with God, we need to hear from him, but we're one yes shy of actually being in the right position to hear what God has to say to us. See, we're all right to sit back there, but I don't want to say yes and put myself too close, because if I put myself too close, what if I hear something I don't like? But yet those same people are the ones who beg and plead to hear from God, but they're one yes shy from being in the right position to hear from Christ or from God. Let's keep going back to our story. Picking up in verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down my nets." When he had done this, he caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so full the boats began to sink. This is the famous yes. This is Peter's famous yes, right? Jesus asked him to put out into deeper water and throw his nets over to the other side of the boat. Peter's response is kind of famous for him saying yes. In other words, it says this: "Master, we fished all night, but because you said so, yes." "Master, yes." That's how you can kind of sum up Peter's things are here. But it always struck me, Peter never really knew what he was agreeing to. All he knew is it meant going deeper. That very first phrase there, Jesus says, "Hey, listen, put out into the deeper water." In other words, I love the way our church is set up. So just picture with me, if you will, the people were pressing in so close. They kept coming forward and kept coming forward and kept coming forward. Jesus says, "Listen, I can't go back any further. I'm going to be in the water. Peter, I need you to get in your boat and take me out a little bit." So the people, they all came and they filled all in around here. And Jesus was able to teach from here. But then he says, "Hey, listen, this isn't enough, Peter. Let's go a little deeper." So Peter gets in the boat and they go a little deeper. And Jesus says, "Hey, listen, throw your nets over to the other side." And Peter says simply, "Yes, we will." It struck me as I read this again this time, Peter had no clue what that yes was going to lead to. All he knew is it meant going deeper. That's all Peter knew, is it meant going deeper. I'd be curious to find out how many miles Peter walked with Jesus after this moment. I wonder if his sandals were ready for it when he said yes. Peter had no clue where this journey was going to take him, what this life was going to mean. He had no clue what this life was going to cost him, what this life was going to give him, where all the places he'd get to visit. Peter had no clue that he would have to leave his wife for a time and come back to her time and time again. He had no clue that he would have to spend 3.5 years learning from this man named Jesus and spending time with his disciples, going from village to village to village. Peter had no clue he was going to get to see lame people walk, blind people see. He had no clue that he was going to get to perform miracles. He was going to get to see people raised from the dead. Peter had no clue of any of the things that were going to come and what he was going to watch Jesus do. But he had no clue the things that he was going to do. He had no clue he was going to preach a sermon where 3,000 people were going to become baptized with the Holy Spirit and say, "Yes, God, whatever you had." Peter had no clue that he was going to raise somebody from the dead himself with a prayer that he prayed and bring them back to death, bring them back from life, death, death to life. Peter had no clue the journey he was fixing to go on. All he knew was, whatever this guy says is way deeper than what I have. And so, yes. Man, church, I wonder for us where we are in this. Ooh, man, this is good stuff right here. Because we don't like doing things if we don't know the answer, right? If I ask you today, "Hey, listen, I want you to do a trunk for the trunk or treat." Well, what does that entail? Well, who's going to provide the candy? Well, what costumes can I wear and what costumes can I not wear? Well, is the weather going to be pretty or is it going to be ugly that day? Is there going to be a lot of kids here? Because I don't really like kids. I'm partially okay with kids, but I don't really like kids. We want to know all the details of every single aspect of everything in life. When all God wants you to do is say yes, because whatever there is in this, it's real. Wouldn't it be awesome if the writer of Luke, which is Luke, would have told us exactly the words that Jesus taught from the boat? You notice that? Luke never tells us what Jesus taught. But something in what Jesus taught from the boat made Peter realize whatever this guy has is way better than the empty religion, the shallow religion that I have. And so if he wants me to go deeper, I'll absolutely go deeper with him. I'll put out into deeper water. I'll cast my nets to the other side of the boat. Yes. That yes replaces a shallow religion with the depths of who Christ is and what he calls Peter to do. The next thing is there's blessings in obedience. All throughout Scripture, you see this idea that those who do what God asked them are blessed. If you go back and you look again at verse 6, when they had done so. Not when they heard, not when they listened to a sermon, not when they read their Bible, not when they went to church, when they had done so. See, it's great to come in here to nod our head, to shake, to fill out our notes, to be a part of church and come to a worship service, but it's not until you put what is being put in here into action that you're truly obedient. We can say yes all day long in here. What happens when we step out there? If your obedience only lasts for the 45 minutes to an hour, or hour and a half, however long I keep you, or you're in here in this building, it's not true obedience. Some of us are sitting, we're saying, God, I don't understand why you don't bless me in life. God, I don't understand why I'm missing all the blessings, why I'm not getting blessed like other people are. And you say, I'm doing everything you want me to do in church. That's not what he's asking for. See, blessings follow obedience. They follow the action. It's only upon the action that the blessings actually take place. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you'll go and do whatever God tells you to do just so that you can become blessed. Because sometimes blessings don't always look like what we want them to. Go back and let's read, or let's keep reading in Luke chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Sometimes, yes, it's petrifying. Do y'all ever notice what happens in this situation? They're petrified after they say yes. They say yes, they get taken out to deeper water. They throw their nets in the water. The catch becomes so big that it sinks both boats. They weren't in the shallow water anymore either. Remember Jesus' first words to Peter once they got done teaching? He said, hey, let's go out where it's deep. This wasn't something where they threw their nets on all of a sudden in a little bit deeper, and if their boat sank, they could just pick them up and take them in. If they sank, this was Titanic moment. They're sinking in the sea with no one there to help them because both their boats were there together. So these men would then have to swim from the middle of the sea all the way back to shore by themselves, assuming they could make it. Sometimes saying yes puts you in a terrifying, a petrifying, a scary situation. The blessing of the fish was wonderful, yes, but can you just imagine bringing all those fish in and all of a sudden there's no more room and the boat starts to sink? Peter realizes it from a different perspective, and it terrifies him because he realizes whatever it is about this guy, it's way more than just that he is a good teacher, that what he says is important or powerful. There is something miraculous, special, God sent about this man. And Peter realizes it, and it causes him to have this moment of self-examination where he says, God, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful person and you're a holy person. It terrifies him to his core because he realizes that in the person of Jesus is God in flesh. And Peter is terrified of that because he realizes that he's a sinful person and shouldn't even be in the presence of a holy person like Jesus. And then there's his companions. They fill up both boats and it says that they're astonished. Now, astonished can mean a lot of different things, right? Astonished can kind of mean shock and awe. But then when you read verse 10 in Jesus' next words, I don't think astonished here meant shock and awe. So were John, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." See, I think the astonishment was straight terror. You're a fisherman. This is what you do with your life. You fished all night, caught nothing. Some guy teaches, and he teaches in a way that you've never heard somebody teach before. He teaches so impactfully that people press in on him and he has to get in your boat, and all of a sudden he teaches from your boat and you get to sit there, and it's as if God is speaking literally through this man who's sitting on your boat. And then you go out a little bit further into the water, and even after fishing all night, you throw your nets over and you don't catch one fish or two fish or three fish or red fish or blue fish. You catch a ton of fish, so much so that the boats can't handle it any longer. I wonder what blessings God's holding back from your life because they're terrifying to you. You're refusing to say yes to what God wants to do in your life because the results of the blessing may terrify you. It may scare you. It may mean doing something that you don't want to do. Y'all got somebody's voice that just calms you down? You know, y'all know what I mean? Your wife, maybe? Jim Tom, right? Yeah. Yeah, we're absolutely good, yeah. For me, it's Nora. I was having a bad day the other day. Don't know why. I was just having a bad day. Nora comes up out of nowhere. Puts her hand on my shoulder and says, "It's tough being a dad, isn't it?" I was like, "It is." Something about her voice just calmed me down. A couple months ago, I had, I don't know what I had. I went to the hospital and had some tests done and stuff. And I went from just going to the doctor to all of a sudden going to the emergency room, from going to the emergency room to, "Hey, we're keeping you overnight. We're going to have to do some tests on you in the morning." I'm not somebody who gets scared, but I was a little scared. Until I heard her voice. It was calm. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid"? Can you imagine what that would have sounded like to these men who were petrified by the blessing they just received from this holy man sitting on their boat in the middle of the deep ocean where they're about to sink, and all of a sudden those words just come out, "Do not be afraid." See, I think for a lot of us, we miss the comfort and the peace that comes from those words because we're so terrified of the blessing we get. A terrifying blessing produces in us a chance to trust. Terrifying situations in your life and in my life produce in us trust. Had they never have said yes, they never would have received the terrifying blessing, but they also would never have been able to hear those sweet words, "Do not be afraid." I think some of us are avoiding saying yes because of the blessing on the other side scares us to death, but really we're just missing the experience. We're missing the experience to hear that peace in our life. So the story ends in verse 11. So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. If there's ever a verse in all of Scripture that always will convict me and dumbfound me, it's verse 11. Always convicts me and dumbfounds me at the same time. Wait, you mean all those fish that they just caught? For one, when they pulled their boats on shore. Anybody catch that? Out of the terrifying depths of the water where they were sinking with so many fish, they now are able to get their nets and their boats on shore. God's not going to leave you out there in the middle of the ocean. When he says don't be afraid, it's because he's going to bring you back to shore too. Secondly, pull their boats up on shore. They don't even try to sell the fish that they just caught. That was pretty good day haul, I'm guessing. Don't try to sell their boats. Oh, those nets that they were taking care of when the story started, they ain't worried about those nets no more. They left everything and followed him. See, what happens for us is, I think, this. Once we say yes, that yes becomes a pattern of disobedience or I'm sorry, a pattern of obedience. That yes becomes a pattern of saying yes, 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 yes. And before you and I know it, that yes has become a lifestyle where we say yes to things that God asks us to do without even thinking about it. Y'all know what I mean by that? If your wife, Kelsey asked me to do something. I don't actually know what Kelsey asked me to do from across the house. She just yells something. John, can you? I say yes. You know why? Because I'm safer. It's smart. Because after years, I've learned if she's asking me to do something, it's because she needs help. And so it's become a pattern in my life to say yes to her without really knowing what it is. I wonder if that happens with us in our relationship with God, what that would look like. If we would become so confident, so comfortable, so connected, so close with him, so used to saying yes, that without even thinking about what he's asking us to do, we would simply say yes. It brings me back to Peter's famous yes here. His famous yes is, Master, because you say so, yes. It's interesting when you phrase it like this, Master, and then there's those three or four dots. You know, those three or four dots could be anything. God, listen, it's been a long night. We fished all night. We're kind of tired. Our backs are rightly sore. We ain't caught nothing yet. But because you say so, yes. God, listen, I'd love to serve in church. God, I'd love to get involved in Bible school. God, I'd love to get involved in Sunday school. God, I'd love to do this. I'd love to share with my neighbor about you. God, I'd love to share with my family members about you. God, I'd love to do this, but you don't understand. See, I've got this condition where when I talk, things come out of my mouth and I don't actually know what I'm saying. It's a dangerous thing to do. God, I'd love to do that, but I'm afraid if I do that, it's going to require more time of me, and my kids already take so much time out of my life. I don't know that I have time to commit to being a part of church. God, I want to be involved here. I want to do this, that. I want to do whatever the case is. Master, and then you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. The question becomes, do you respond with but? Or do you leave it with all the excuses, with all the reasons you can't do whatever God's asking you to do? I can tell you this. For a long time in my life, I left it with all the excuses. Kelsey and I were talking about this the other day. Almost 3 years ago to the day. 2 years ago. 2 years ago to the day. Almost 2 years ago to the day. I met five or six of y'all. Somewhere up in Gillum. I didn't even know where Gillum was. We went to La Herradura. Ate lunch. I said, we think we want you to be the pastor here. Kelsey and I left and said, no way. There's no way. They were great people. It was lovely meeting everybody. They were very nice. The food at the Mexican restaurant was good. But there's no, we can't leave. Our house is in Alabama. I mean, everything we've got is in Alabama. We've got all our friends here. Our families are close by. Our kids in school here. Everything we have is here. God, listen, great. I'm glad you want us to do something like that. That's exciting, but no, we can't do that. And I realized in the process of that, that wasn't just this situation. That was my whole life. What I was doing is God would ask me to do all kinds of things, and I would give him all the reasons I couldn't, all the reasons I wasn't able to, all the reasons I don't think now was the right time for those things to happen. And I would say, great, thank you so much for asking me to do something, but I can't. Let me phrase it a different way. God, thank you so much for asking me to do something. No. See, we like I can't a lot better, right? I can't sounds like it's actually, I would love to, but I can't. Y'all ever invite somebody over for dinner and they say, well, I would love to come to home. Mr. Homer, I'd love to come to dinner with you guys, but I got a pinky toenail. It's a little crooked right now. I need to go home and cut it. So I can't come to dinner. It's a lot nicer than saying no, right? But the end of the result's the same. Can't, because I don't want to. I wonder how many of us, God asks us to do things and we give him all the reasons we can't. But really, we're just saying no. This morning, church, I wonder. I'll tell you this, hands down. We were talking about this just the other day. We can see God's hand on our life from the moment we said yes. I could fill too many Sundays with stories of how God worked us being here. What God's done in our life, in our marriage, in our family since we moved here. And not a single one of them would have happened if we never said yes. Best decision of our life. Best decision of our life coming here with y'all. Now, y'all are good people, but it's not because of you. It's because we were willing to say yes to God. I wonder how many of y'all, man, you're this close. You're right there on the edge of the absolute best decision you've ever made in your entire life. And you're sitting right on the edge of it. All God's waiting for you to do is just say yes. And let that one yes turn into the next yes. Because he's going to put you in the right position to hear from God. And as you get put in the right position to hear from God, the more you hear about him, the more you realize that what he offers is amazing. It's wonderful. It's the absolute best thing there is in the world. And it makes you want to go deeper. And it makes you want to get more involved. And it makes you want to get more involved. And it makes you want to get more involved. And before you realize it, you are so far from where you started out with that first initial yes. But you are in such a better place with him. You can fill in whatever you want in those 3 or 4 dots. The question becomes the same. Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? Whatever you call me to, yes. God, I thank you for today. Father, I truly thank you for this church, for these people, for the difference, the impact, what they've meant to my family, to our life. But God, none of that love, concern, and care means a single thing for them unless they are willing to accept what you're calling them to do. Because God, this can be the best thing in my life, but it will never translate to the best thing in their life until they are willing to say yes. So God, I pray now that whatever. Father, I pray that you would help them sort through the excuses, the reasons, all the reasons that they're giving as to why they can't do something. God, I pray that you would just work in their hearts, in their lives. Father, where my words fall short, that your spirit would work mightily in this church today. God, that we would start our walk of obedience saying yes to whatever it is that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.